Alrighty, hi guys. How are we all? Well, I just wanted to talk today about trust and mercy. And really just understand, look, I know a lot of us have gone through different lessons over the past few months. And the Lord's just been, teaching us about trust. And if you look at any of your situations that you've been through, you'll see that that's what's been going on. Learning about trust and how important it is to trust no man. That's what the Bible says. The Bible, throughout the entire scriptures, it talks about trusting God. And trusting only God. Trust is a firm belief that a person or thing may be relied on, and you have a confident expectation in it. And in the Bible, it's always talking about to lean on and to be confident in and to have trust in God. And it's always put your trust in God and not man. And we'll see. Like, you will have experiences. I mean, there's people that you you will have close to you. I think the point is that people are always going to let you down because they're human and they can get it wrong, And I mean, that's what makes us human. We can make mistakes, and that's where we've got to learn to we have to be able to forgive. But the main point that I guess I wanted to talk about was having that trust. And even though we go through circumstances and situations where we've put our trust wrongly in people, that we can then have a look at, the lesson in it. And there's definitely always a lesson in it. And it's more about, I guess for me, mainly, such a big heart. When you've got such a big heart and you're so merciful, when you really just, mercy is a gift. If you have mercy for people, where you've always got a big heart for people and you just want to help people and you just love people and you try not to see any bad in them, and it can lead you down. Look, there's always the good and the bad in your gift, okay? And I mean, if you've ever, any of you have walked kind of with me, you will know that I've trusted and I've been merciful to some, people that I shouldn't have been in my life. And I guess you could, but you probably have as well. And we can be so merciful sometimes that we can end up living in a, we can put ourselves in a foolish situations. And we can also allow people into our lives who we shouldn't. And when you, whether you're leading in anything, not leading like as whether you're a boss, a manager, wherever you are in your workplace, in your family, you need to be, mindful and be wise in who you allow into your life and who you trust and what you tell them. And it's always talking about, guarding your heart. But a merciful person, like, they're great because they'll give out so much stuff and they don't care for themselves. They're always caring for other people and wanting other people to be greater than them. And, and they make fantastic leaders, but they also need to know when not to do that, and they need to learn how to stop doing it. Because, look, I'll tell you right now, I've seen people, lose their lives because their family have loved them to death. They've been so merciful and so loving and just loved them so much that they give them and continuously give them everything they've ever wanted. And then at the end of the day, they've never been made to stand up. They've never been made to take responsibility because, the people that love them are so merciful and love them so much, they just can't stand to see them hurt or fall, and you want to go in and save them. And when you do that, you're blocking God from coming in and teaching them a lesson so they can learn to be responsible or to take, and to stop doing a certain thing that's hurting them. So merciful people, not only have they got, huge compassionate hearts, but they've also don't like to offend and they don't like to hurt people and they don't want to see people hurting. So they want to go in and really stop the pain. And that can really be ineffective when people need to grow up and when people need to learn lessons and, you know, they need to be made responsible, not you making them accountable, but they need to learn from consequences from their actions. And it's the only way we grow and we learn. So I think we really need to, you know, God's really been just teaching me about that aspect of myself in particular, because, you know, pretty much I would give away the kitchen sink, you know what I mean? I'd give away my whole house. And if the Lord's going to give you a ministry, you know, he takes that quite seriously. And if you don't, then he wants you to, and he's going to teach you about what he puts in your hand. If he gives you something and he puts it in your hand, he wants you to steward that well, and he wants you to treasure it and take care of it and, you know, really love it and nurture that baby, that gift that he's given you in that ministry or whatever it is that he's given you, the job or the home, the children. You know, he really wants you to, you know, he take care of it. So I guess my point is also, he will bring people around in your life. I mean, people come for all sorts of lessons. He'll use people. I mean, we'll see in the scriptures, even just with Hosea, how Hosea married a prostitute. I mean, he knew that it was Hosea was a prophet of God, and he, you know, followed the law and he loved the Lord, and the Lord, you know, instructed him to marry a prostitute, which was just completely and other, like, it's just not something that he would have done for himself, but because it was a command from God, he did it. And, you know, and that was for Hosea to be able to see and through experience to actually learn how the Lord feels about his church and how the Lord feels about his people, okay, the people of Israel, which is the people of God. And even though the wife of Hosea kept going off and you know, She was just an adulteress. She just would sleep with anybody, and she just was not faithful and not loyal and certainly not trustworthy and certainly not merciful, because if you're merciful, you just couldn't do that to somebody. But she wasn't. And Hosea was just instructed to love her. Love her regardless. And so he did. And so through his marriage, through his experience, he really got to feel how it was like he was experiencing what the Lord would feel about his bride, about his own wife, which is the bride of Christ. You know, and the pain you go through because, you know, of your cheating wife and, you know, the unfaithfulness and the broken trust and all those things that Hosea would have experienced through his relationship with this woman. Who he was, you know, who he was married to, whether nothing was ever going to change that. And that's how it is with Jesus. He's married to us, the bride of Christ. And it doesn't matter how far off we go. It doesn't matter where, how backslidden we are. It doesn't matter how far away from God we are. I mean, if you're a believer in the Lord, if you've had, you know, if you believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, then he is your bridegroom and you're his bride. And even though your heart can be far from him, he loves you with an unwavering love. And, you know, and it breaks his heart that, you know, that you're off doing all your own things and into all types of that other things. You know, idolatry is where, you know, other things are more important to you than the Lord. It's like whatever your passions is and your desires and, you know, and idolatry comes. I mean, you can look through the stories of the scriptures. I don't have a lot of it here right now, but it's like everyone was falling into idolatry all the time. It's just when those little things can creep in to make your heart feel more love for other things than what you feel for the Lord, what you feel for God, you know. And we look at that in the world. It's like you look at the world and it's like you can have anything you want in the world, but as soon as you start to say, oh, it's the Lord I want, it's God I want, that's when things start to buck up. That's when people start to come at you. That's when the family starts to go, hang on a minute, what's going on there? That's when people want to come and have a chat to you to make sure you're all right, that you haven't turned a bit too religiously or you haven't turned a little bit too, you know, not a bit of a fruitcake for God. And you know, here she goes, she's going down that road, or here he goes, he's going that way. As soon as you start to want God, and that's when people start to, you know, hang on a minute, what's going on? And then the deeper you go into wanting, wanting him to be everything of your life, the greater the warfare. But and the most important thing is anything that comes before you in your heart, before, you know, that has, you know, more precedence over your heart than what God does is how God feels when, you know, how Hosea felt about his wife cheating on him all the time, being a prostitute and just out there just loving everything else but her husband. So, but he never left her. The Lord instructed him to stay with her and to love her the way God loves his people. So it's a good story to read, because that's how the Lord is with us, you know. He just loves us, like, incredibly, so much. There's no evil in him, for one. And, you know, when he's come inside of your body, he's in there. He doesn't go anywhere. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. He's constantly in there. Yes, we can, you know, our heart, our natural human heart, you know, can tend to want other things. But the more like it, the more that you yield to God inside of you, the more he breaks through from the inside of you and pushes all those other things that are really meant nothing to you all this time out of you, and he gets more room inside of your body, and that's how it, that kind of develops. So anything that is more important, that takes up your mind, that takes up your time, I mean, where's our time going? I mean, are we watching other people? Are we, what are we doing? You know what I mean? Are we in the marriage bed with the Lord? Are we just romanced and just in love with this wonderful God who pours his goodness on us and his love through us and just loves us? You know what I mean? He just loves us, and we're full of him. And the more that we realize that, the greater the increase, the strength and the power that flows through our bodies, because we're like, wow, you know. This, you know, how much he loves us. You just fall in love with him, and that just, he just delights in it. He just delights in it. So the trust factor, I think, is the most important thing. So we trust in that. We trust in him. We trust in his faith. We trust in his ability. I mean, we are going to make mistakes. We are not going to always get it right. We are going to go down different ways, and we're even going to be led into things by the Lord, into situations that are actually not the best decisions, because he wants us to learn things, okay? And we don't go through it, we're never going to learn it. So we go through things. So even when you see your brother and sister going through circumstances, or they're going through things, I mean the Lord will speak all the time about people, right? And you know, and you can see it constantly going out there in the world, and that merciful heart just prays for them. I just want to pray for them. I just want to see them, you know, I just pray for them. That's why I feel like the Lord's always telling me about things. It's because he wants me to pray for them, not to dissect them. I really feel he just, you know, I know I feel prayers. I can feel people's prayers when they pray for me, and it's amazing. Like, you know, I feel it's the power of prayer is just so incredible. And when that... And because I receive it like that, I know how much it impacts other people, you know, and it gets me off myself as well. It gets me out of my own opinions. It gets me out of my own mind. It gets me out of my own reasoning. And it just puts me straight into his spirit. I mean, I always think about what would the Lord do here? He'd be praying for them. I mean, he spent hours and hours in the Garden of Gethsemane just crying and interceding for humanity. He didn't go to the Father, they're all into this type of stuff and they're all doing this and they're all doing that and I'm about to go to the cross and die for these selfish people and nobody cares and they're not even here. Who's by me? And the only ones I do have near me, they can't even stay awake for a minute to pray while I cry to you. You know, he didn't do any of that. He was pouring himself out into the earth. Literally, physically in his body, that's what he was doing. He was on the ground. His eyes were, you know, he was bleeding. He was crying blood. That's the intensity of his cries for humanity. And I tell you, I've had some experiences where I've just cried that much for people, where I just feel that, I feel, you know, that pull in the spirit, that pull on my heart about, you know, just seeing all different types of messed up stuff where people are just, you know, going through all different types of stuff. And it's not that anybody's perfect. It's just where the heart goes. If your heart's pulled in an area, you feel it and you just, you know, you experience that grief. But it's all about praying. I think that it's the most important thing is praying for people and trusting in God. Trusting in God and not trusting in people. And even though he brings people around you for you to go through things and for you to experience things, for you to learn, for people to have different experiences of their own. So even though you might be used in an experience, he wants other people to learn different things from those experiences as well. And he will orchestrate whatever it needs to be orchestrated if you're a willing vessel, you know. It's just, you know, hands up who wants to be that willing vessel, because I certainly do. I just want to be completely and utterly overwhelmed and overflowing with the glory of God pouring out of my being and really just completely used by him in any way he wants to use me, using my mouth to speak and whatever it is, you know, whatever it is he wants to do with my life, do it, Lord, you know. And with my eyes focused solely on his plans and purposes and not the plans and purposes he's given other people, because I truly don't want to be like following a person like Hosea, like Prophet Hosea, and thinking that that's what I should be following, and then all of a sudden I'm marrying the wrong person because I thought, well, that Hosea did it, so then that's what I must be doing, right? But no, I mean, Isaiah and Jeremiah didn't marry prostitutes. They had different experiences, right? They had to do different things for the Lord. I mean, Isaiah walked for 3 years naked. I don't want to be doing that either. But these people, like, if I was following someone like Isaiah and I was thinking, well, whatever he's experiencing, that must be what I have to do as well. Well, that's what would happen to me. So if we're following people, we're going to be doing things that God's called them to do rather than do the thing that God's called us to do. So if our eyes are on people so much, we're going to be experiencing what they're experiencing, or we're going to be having the experiences they're experiencing rather than their lessons. And some of those lessons weren't even meant for us in the first place. But if we're following along and tagging along with people and our eyes are fixed solely on people, I mean, if we looked at Hosea today in this modern society, in contemporary Australia, if we looked at Hosea today from a, you know, being a Christian and from a biblical perspective, we'd be looking at him going, dude, that man's in idolatry. Dude, you're in adultery. What's going on? Get out of that marriage. That's totally wrong. And he's like, but the Lord's told me I've got to stay. And you're like, no, that's not the Lord, because the Bible says adultery is bad and it's a sin, and the Lord wouldn't ask you to sin, so you better get out of that. You know, and that's the type of thing we'd be saying today in the mindsets that a lot of Christians have at the moment, and it's not right. This is why it's so it's crucial and important that we follow the Lord and get our eyes off other people, because if our eyes are on other people, we're going to be judging the wrong way, incorrectly making assumptions. Now, my mum always used to say to me, don't assume anything, love. Assume nothing. I think, you know, these old people, they got a bit of wisdom, you know what I mean? They kind of have done it, been there, done it. Nobody's perfect, though. Nobody's perfect, and the Lord's working in people the best way he can at that point with the person where they're at. It's not our place to get in to try to tell people what to be doing. I mean, for me, preach the gospel. If that's what you're called to do, preach the gospel. That's what it says in scripture. If that's what you're called to do, do that. If you're called to do this, then do that. But a lot of time, we're so caught up following other people, or our eyes on other people, or judging, or looking, our eyes are on the wrong thing. We don't even know our own call. Yeah, we got the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we feel the Spirit within. Yeah, we can feel it, but do we know what we're commissioned to do? Yeah, the Great Commission's there, but do we know our part of the puzzle? Do we know where we sit? Do we know our piece? Because there's plenty, there's enough for everybody. I mean, there is enough for everybody. We don't have to be wanting after other people's gifts. We don't want other people's gifts. I mean, there's a lot of stuff out there. I can see it where people are like, oh, I wish I had her gift. And that's that jealousy, the bitterness, the envy, and all that stuff that can come up. So you start to walk in your destiny, or you start to walk in a little bit of you start to figure out, you know. The Lord starts to reveal to you what you're good at, what you're not, and what he's called you to do, and you start to try to figure that out, and you don't have it down pat in the first couple of years, it's going to take you a long time to feel that. You got to walk in some big shoes, you know what I mean? And that takes a long time to get into that stuff. I mean, from the moment that you're born again, you're born again. There's no trying to get born again again. I mean, you're born again, and now you grow in your identity, you grow in your destiny, you grow in your calling, you grow in your ways and learning to walk with the Lord. Well, you're not trying to be anybody else. I mean, I was born with this heart. I was born with the with this whatever it is. You know, if you're a merciful person, or if you're a teacher, if you always want to, you know, is that teaching always been in you? What is it that you've always done? It's always been a part of you. You know, God created you, knew you from the moment you were born. He formed you in your mother's womb. He knew you. It says, "I knew you," which means I was with you. I was one with you. I knew you. I know what's in you. I know what you're created for. I know your personality type. Like, I'm loud. I'm the way I am is not the way everybody else is. I'm very different, and so are you. We're different people. But the Lord doesn't want us to be the same. He doesn't. It doesn't mean that you have to be the same person, and it doesn't mean that you have to have everybody else's gifts. You just walk in what you're called to walk in. You be who you are. You know, now you're saved because you've got God inside of you and you're learning to walk with the Lord. I mean, it's not a competition. And it's certainly not something where you have to go and put dig out the dirt on everybody, or, you know, we've got the devil to do that. We don't have to be the devil. We can just be like God instead, you know, created in his image, and to follow him and do the things that he would do. Yeah, so we trust in God, we trust in the Father, we trust in Jesus who's in us, right? We trust in him, our trust is in him. And so even though we go through situations, or we've been through things, or he's brought people around us who have done, you know, who haven't done right by us, our trust is not in those people or those circumstances. Our trust is in the Lord, and then we look to those circumstances that we've been through, and we can always see God working in some way, using it to bring some type of a lesson, or to refine us in some type of way. There's always something in it. God uses everything, it says, you know, and he does. You can look back on your life and you can see God's hand in so many things, even when I was unsaved. Do you know what I mean? I mean, it's the Father who draws us. It's the Holy Spirit who leads us to Jesus. The Father draws us. All right? There's no picking on everybody. It's just walk in what you're called to walk in. You know, just be you, and God just pours out through you, and just enjoy it. Enjoy who you are. Enjoy that he's in you, and just celebrate that there's no more trying. There's no more having to live, the Lord, Jesus is our mediator, okay, between heaven and earth. And with Jesus, we now can hear the voice of God. It's simple as that. He's coming to live inside of our body, and now we can commune with God. Thank you, Jesus. And he is for the healing of the nations. He's the healer. He heals our soul wounds. Every wound that we've ever received on our soul, he heals it. Every area where we need healing, he's the healer. That's it. All darkness, all wickedness, all sin that has caused the wounds, he removes it. His blood removes it. He comes into us, fills us with it, glory, fills our bodies, our temples, fills us with his glory, the bright burning Shekinah brilliant light. It's burning brilliant light. He's like, I am the light of the world. I am the light. And he fills our bodies, and it shines out of us, and we just yield to that. It's an incredible feeling to feel that presence continuously through your body. It's such an amazing feeling. There's no other high like it. There really isn't. There's really no other. There's nothing more fun or exciting than having that constant commune with God inside of your body. You know, for a long time, I'd go to churches where I'd be, you know, out there trying to worship so I could feel God more. And I thought that I'd have to go to these churches to experience God, when in fact, He was already inside of me. I just didn't recognize it. I just didn't realize it. I just thought I needed more when I didn't. What I needed was less of the more, and just to rest in who, what He has already done. To rest in that presence that's already inside of me. So trust not in other people. Trust in God and God alone. And allowing anything that's ever happened to you, washing it away with forgiveness, always pouring forgiveness all over it, because they know not what they do. They don't understand what they're doing. Everybody's at different stages. Everyone's got different lessons. Everyone's different personalities. Everyone's just different, right? But we've got the same Lord who lives inside of us. And He came so we can talk to God. We don't need to go and see a priest. We don't need to talk to anybody. We don't need to follow anybody. All we need is Jesus. And through Him, we hear the voice of God, right? And He speaks to us internally. And He directs us, and we're led by that Spirit within, you know. And we're healed. Our wounds are healed. Our lives are healed. We transform. Our old life has passed away. We're born again, new creations. The new life has come. And we just live this new life in God with no more looking back. And we're not embarrassed of Him. And we're not embarrassed to proclaim it, you know. And it's just always, yes, God, yes, God. Amen, amen, amen. And really just enjoying Him inside of us. It's an incredible ecstasy. There's nothing greater. So I hope you guys are blessed. I love you all. And I'll talk to you all next time.